Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show for Sunday, June 4th, 2017, with me, Scott Johnson, and him, Brian Dunaway. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Boop Show. This is the Boop Show, episode 136. That's a nice number. Nice big number. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott.
What's going on?
That is a nice big number.
How you doing there post the Wonder? We talked about a pre-show a bit, but what do you think about that Wonder Woman there and deal, that movie there?
Do you like I've got that? To say, I was worried going in that they were going to play it super safe, and they did in some areas, but they managed to pull some surprises on me, so that was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was entirely entertained. Had a great time. It is probably a easy thing to say, but it's the best DC movie made, which is, you know, there's not a lot of great DC movies lately.
Right.
I mean, the Nolan movies notwithstanding, but anyway, it was great. It was good stuff.
Without any spoilers, I think this is the first positive, uplifting DC movie. And I don't see anything positive or uplifting coming from Aquaman. He always seems like a downer.
Yeah, but he's so cool looking. I'm gonna hold off some judgment on that one until I see it. I'm worried too. I have the same worries you do. You're not wrong to be worried, but you know, Aquaman has had his ups and downs. Certainly, you know, his super friends years were not kind to him.
Right,
he was terrible. But then there are lots of comic iterations where he's great. So I think there's an opportunity here to latch onto the great. I'm a little worried they're gonna go too gritty with him, just because they're trying to get so far away from the nerd that rides, you know, the water skis on top of dolphins to come save the day or whatever. I think they want to make him super dark. So I don't know. I like Jason Momoa. He's not an incredible actor or anything, but he has a.
But he looks impressive.
Oh
right?
Yeah, he has an impressive screen presence. Just like eats up everything he stands in. So that's great. I don't know. Justice League is now higher on my excitement list than it was previous to Wonder Woman, so they have that effect on me.
Right.
And I don't know, man. Like I was saying before, just a little sunlight helps. Like, you know, have some sunlight. Have some positive attitudes. Have some fun humor. Like, marvel it up a little. You know, that's all we're asking. Without, you know, they don't ever want to say those words, but that's what I mean. Is just add a little Marvel levity and fun and sunlight and... Like literal, I said this before the show, literal sunlight, like actual light from the sun in your movie. And Wonder Woman had a ton of that. So, more of that, please.
Did you see it? Did you see it in 3D? I know that you're a kind of a 3D snob.
I am. I hate 3D. So I watched it in glorious two-dimensional, large screen format, digital. It was nice.
I thought I was going to watch it in 3D.
Yeah. Why didn't you?
Well, I got to the movie theater and I said, hi, two for the 7 o'clock show, please. And they said, okay. He said, would you like to watch that in 3D? I said, yes, I would. So we did our little transaction. He handed me my 3D glasses.
Yeah.
I went to the ticket, Terry, tore my ticket. I went to my screen, sat down, started watching trailers. And about the third or fourth trailer in, I'm like, I got my 3D glasses on my forehead, got them all ready to go, ready to pull down. Cause you know about, you know, usually they start going, hey, look, put your 3D glasses on now for this amazing experience.
Right.
And waiting for it never happens.
Oh no.
And so about the third trailer in, I kind of look around and I'm like, nobody's got 3D glasses. It's just me.
Are you in the wrong theater? Is that what happened?
And so I'm like, let me see them tickets real quick. And I'm like, screen 7, 10 o'clock.
Oh no.
We're at the 7. You mother humper.
Yeah, he screwed you up. That's not your fault.
No.
That's really funny though. You must have felt really dumb with those glasses on.
See, I always sit at the front. Well, we got like, you know, the breakup because we got stadium seating, and so I always sit at the front of the stadium part. No one was in front of me, so I couldn't see anybody in front of me. So I'm down there with my doofus glasses on, and everybody else behind me probably looking at me going, what's this guy doing?
You guys do reservations? That's normal, right, for you guys?
Yeah, you can do that. They have our theater was recently purchased, and now we have the self-dispensing popcorn, fill your own drinks, all the stuff except for the reservation seats, where they're still working on that.
Oh, they got to work on that. It's the best thing ever. That changed for us. It changed like in the early 2000s, and we've never looked back. It's so great. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, when I head to the IMAX theater, which is about 45 minutes from here, we always get the reserve seating. I walk in on my phone and go, ah, suckers!
Yeah, you got to. You have to. Yeah. The only problem with that is sometimes someone will still be in your seat. But you
yeah, can, what the hell? That's
You can still kick them out. You're just like, look at my ticket there, Jacko. It says the right name and get out of here. Well, all right, it's Wonder Woman. And, you know, I don't know if we'll ever see a video game. You mentioned that in the notes here. I think it's worth talking about. Do you think it'll, I mean, I don't know, if this thing surpasses 100 million opening weekend, which looks like it will.
Right.
I mean, that seems like grounds for let's make a video game. And I don't mean that she's never been in a video game in some form. She's in that Lego DC Universe game. She's in lots of DC games, but she's never had her own thing.
Let's see, Injustice, Guys Among Us, and Injustice 2.
Yeah.
She was even in a old game that I never played, but it was the was where all this stuff started. Justice League Task Force, which was one of those beat 'em ups.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that a Blizzard game?
It was Blizzard,
Blizzard's one of Blizzard's early games. They made this is back in the day when they were, I think they weren't even Blizzard yet. They were whatever in Synapse. Synapse, is that it? Yeah. And they,
is it Condor?
Was that? I thought it was Silicon.
No.
Wasn't it Silicon and Synapse?
Blizzard North. Might have been.
Well, anyway, Blizzard North may have become, I don't know how it worked out. Blizzard North eventually became the company who did, the part of the company that made Diablo and Diablo 2. But anyway, point is, they used to contract. That was how they got the kind of their start. So while they worked on original games like Lost Vikings and one? Rock and Roll Racing, that one.
I forgot about Rock and Roll Racing.
Yeah, Rock and Roll Racing. It's not Braveheart. What's the name of the Slave Man? Brave Man?
Yes. Slave Man.
No, shit.
Brought to you by Blizzard.
The name's just slipping out of my head. I can't think of it. Shoot. Oh, I had it for a second that went away. This is the first sign of something.
I'm Googling Blizzard Slave Man game. Let's see what we get on that.
I don't think he was a slave. I can't. And people at home, people
Blackthorn.
Are hearing this.
Was it Blackthorn?
It was Blackthorn. Jeez Louise. I wonder how many people are just screaming at their headphones right now, going, guys, it's freaking Blackthorn.
Worst Blizzard game ever, apparently, or games that were overlooked. What do you think?
Which one? Blackthorn was good. Actually, it was a good game. All of those original Blizzard games were pretty good on console. The one that's it's the superhero or the fighting DC game that was not very good.
It
was okay, but it wasn't, there was nothing.
So the
about
Task
that.
Force was the NES version, and yes, it was crap because they had limited animations.
Wasn't that Super NES or was it NES? I thought it was Super NES. No.
Oh yeah, what did I say? NES. Super NES.
Super NES,
and also the Genesis Mega Drive deal.
Oh, right. Small trivial note. First thing that Chris Metzen worked on when they hired him, he was hired to work on the animation stuff for that game. He would go on to be a very different person at that company and pretty much lord of all he sees and surveys. But he started right there on Task Force, which is a pretty awesome.
It's a weird game because it was right in that time period, like the mid 90s, where we wanted to really brood up our heroes, and we were working on that Aquaman one hand kind of thing, and Superman had all the long grunge hair.
Into that, man. It was a bad time. I think early 90s for comics. There are moments, like Image getting started, it has its thing that makes it cool, but also there was a lot of shovelware with that move.
Oh yeah.
It's a weird time for comics. Comics
were
less
reason why those guys started up, because the big players, Marvel and DC, were crap in the bed.
Yeah, and Marvel was, ready to go out of business. They were selling properties to Sony and Fox just to make ends meet. Keep themselves
here. You can have Fantastic Four. Don't screw it up.
Yeah, don't screw it up. Here's Spider-Man. Please be nice. And now, what a weird world we live in now. It's so weird. It's amazing what changes in like 17 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, outside of that, I've been playing more ESO, Elder Scrolls Online, a lot. I don't know why I'm really digging that game so much, but I'm really liking it. And I played more Battlegrounds, the PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which we call it Blue Hole because it's the publishing arm is some Korean company called Blue Hole, and it makes me laugh. So every time it boots up, it says, published by Blue Hole, and So when I tell my friends I want to play, like Bone, John, and others, I'll go, yo, guys, we're playing Blue Hole. Everyone get in. We're playing Blue Hole. I noticed something in there, though. Just mute the lobby chat, everybody. Just do yourselves a favor. Some of the worst forms of humanity are bottom feeding in there, and it's awful. Oh, my gosh, the things people say.
Well, there's so many people at once, right? Because you start with, like, what, 99 people in a plane? Or
Yeah, you 100, yeah, 100 people.
100, yeah.
Some people drop out. But
well,
usually,
I meant besides yourself, because you're right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, here's one of my favorite things about it is in the lobby system right now as it's currently constituted, and this is supposedly going to change, but as it is right now, everybody starts out in this big field, and there's like a downed plane there and some tables and a bunch of wreckage, and you just all spawn there and run around and punch each other and shoot each other for no reason. It doesn't hurt. It just sort of is dumb, right? But you can talk there if you have that turned on. You don't have it muted. People can say whatever they want. And once in a while, something magical will happen. In the center of the thing, somebody was playing the Seinfeld theme. So we all ran to the middle and danced. And it's only for 60 seconds. This is how long the lobby lasts. So this, and we're just all like, yeah, dude, this is great. But then sometimes people cuss and just, not just cuss, cussing's fine. They just, people say the most horrible, racist, awful, homophobic, whatever things that just make your ears bleed. And you're just like, what are you doing? Are you at 15? Maybe, probably. I don't know who's what age. You can't have a real conversation there. So I've decided to mute that. But then my third favorite thing that happens is someone will throw a Molotov cocktail out there because they have some of the weapons there to experiment with while you wait. Right. And they'll throw a cocktail. And if you get in it, you don't die. You just catch on fire. So you're on fire. And then the timer runs out and the plane takes off, and now you're all in a plane, and from the outside it looks like you're just outside of a plane getting ready to parachute. But if you hit the V key, you zoom inside of the plane, and you can look to your left and right and see all 100 people sitting there waiting to exit the plane. And the best part of that is there's a half a dozen of you in there that are on fire still. Well, you're in the plane. It's a dumb little thing. It's more of a glitch than anything, but it cracks me up every time, and I like that part of it. Anyway, that game is awesome, especially with a team. We had a four-person squad going most of 3.5 hours yesterday evening, and we had so much fun, so many great moments. I mean, there's a reason the game is so successful. That game I talked about last week, but the gameplay loop is just exquisite in that thing.
Right.
So
I finally played Overwatch.
Oh, how'd that go for you?
Some more.
Oh, right. You played some more. Yeah, you played some last week, but you played a little more. We were going to try to play, remember? We didn't play. Why didn't we play?
Right.
What was our deal?
Because you stood me up, you bastard.
Was I supposed to play that night? I was, wasn't I? And then I had stuff.
It's okay. I recorded some Smack Talk video instead.
Oh, good. Have you found your character yet? Have you found someone?
I absolutely have found my two characters that I love the most. It's going to have to be Bastion because I'm a bastard and I like to go hunker down somewhere and just send a hail of bullets.
Yeah, you're a camper. You're a camper and a troll. I see. No, it's fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fine. And then when I'm not playing that, I'm playing the flying rocket launcher gal who I'm Pharah.
Oh, Pharah. Yeah, Pharah's great. Pharah. Nothing wrong with her.
More of me hiding places and dropping bombs on people.
Yeah, she's great. I like Pharah a lot. And she's reminiscent of like Rocket Arena Quake and stuff. Like
It actually was more Tribes. Remember Tribes?
Oh yeah, Tribes is great.
Love if Tribes. You have played Tribes in the past and you're starting Overwatch,
yeah.
You'll fit right. You'll get it exactly. You'll be like,
it's funny you say that. It's funny you say that. I think I just figured something out. It's long been thought that the way that they would get current shooter players in there, like Call of Duty players, was Soldier 76, because he's basically that. You've got a sprint key. Mm-hmm. You've got, you know, the same kind of gun style. Like he's a soldier, right?
Right, right.
And so it makes a lot of sense. He doesn't have a bunch of weird shit like some of these characters do. He's just kind of straightforward. And so that was a good on-ramping for those players. And I hadn't really considered it, but if you are a big Tribes player, Pharah is totally your on-ramp. She's your way in.
Oh, absolutely. Man, I felt immediately as soon as I started playing that character, I'm like, oh, I get this. I think even their timing is even very close to how long the jetpack will last before you have to cool down and do it again. It's very much like
I hadn't considered that. I wonder if we talked to the dev team, I wonder if one of them would say, oh yeah, that was our intent. We love Tribes here. And
well, duh.
Could have been. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, for me, the on-ramp for me was Junkrat, because I played so much Demo Man.
Yeah, and TF2.
TF2, but also in Quake. I love that grenade launcher. And I'm just a fan of that chaos of throwing bombs into a space and having them kill everyone. I love that. It's the best thing ever.
It was so much fun. I love it.
Best thing ever. All right. I guess that's all we've been doing.
Wait,
did you play Elder Scrolls Legends? It says here you did. Did you try that?
I played that piece of crap.
It's not bad. It's all right.
It's not bad. It's like, okay, but if you got limited amount of time and you want to play a battle card game, are you going to play Hearthstone or are you going to play Elder Scrolls Legends?
Well, I mean, it depends on where your interests lie. Like if you are a diehard Blizzard fan and you think only they make video games, I think probably Hearthstone, but I think this is good as good a Hearthstone like game as any. I mean, they've in some ways they've copied a lot of things, but I also like the two lane system. That's very different. Yes. There's a lot more some of the elements of like Magic the Gathering are in there that you don't see in Hearthstone. A little less reliance on RNG and some other stuff. And I also think the single player campaign story stuff is superior to what Hearthstone does with their story stuff. I think it's really, really good. But yeah, it's, you know, it's an alternative. It's free to play. It's a CCG. I mean, I don't like CCGs generally because I don't like collecting cards. I don't like trying to find the card I don't have yet. I don't like spending money on stuff like that. Like it's not my thing. It's never been my thing.
I don't like anything about it.
I want it to be my thing, but it's just not. What is my thing is deck builders. Like I like cards. I like Yeah.
Freudian slip. You said Dick Builders.
Yes, Dick Builders. He's my old employer. He used to work for Dick Builders, and he was the worst.
I shop at Dick Builders. That just sounds like a great place to go, doesn't it?
It does. Do not shop at Dick Builders. but I don't know why I said he. When I play a deck builder. that's how a New Zealander would say a deck. He'd say
right,
dick.
Right.
Anyway, I would I like those because it's like here's 100 cards, and within those cards are the gameplay, and have fun, and you're done. Like that's your game, and I like that. Like Starport or is it Starport? Shoot, I forgot the name of it. I play this sci-fi game on my iPad all the time. It's a card game that's competitive or single player. It's really good. Jaipur is another one. It's an awesome. game where it's all about trading and stuff. It's got nothing to do with trying to collect cards. It's just you deal with the deck you have, and I like that. It's like a deck of 52 playing cards. Nobody wants to play poker where you got to collect a bunch of cards. I hate that. so that's my thing. And then I realize I am not. This is totally me. It's a me thing. It is just happens to be a me thing. Otherwise, there's so much to love about Hearthstone. So much to love about these other games. They just don't grab me. I don't know why. So whatever.
I could same way. It's kind of like advanced solitaire to me. If I'm on a conference call somewhere with somebody, I might be playing it in the background.
Yeah.
You know.
Might I recommend for you a mobile game? Also, it's on Steam. Called, it's on Android and iOS and Steam. It's called Solitarica.
Oh wait a minute! Let me see.
That game is great. It's real good, and it's kind of roguelike-y, which I'm already a fan of, but also it's just, I don't know, it's a great form of solitaire. It's got RPG elements. You know, you fight stuff. It's awesome.
Right.
And it even uses face cards.
Right.
Of a sort. So it's great. It's Solitarica, one of my favorite standalone single-player card games in the last 5 years.
Got it.
Yeah.
Get it now.
You should
get it.
Totally worth it. It's like $3. Oh, that's
$3. Wait, it costs money?
That's the other thing is it's got zero space points bullshit in it. It's just straight up play
give
it.
Us your cash.
Yeah, give us your money. Yeah. Just straight up give us your money. All right, let's talk briefly about how Nintendo's Switch Online, this is their new Switch Online service, will compare to your PlayStation Plus or your Xbox Live Gold account. So there's been some confusion about this. When they originally announced it, there was talk, Brian, that you'd be able to get a game a month free that would be a classic game of some sort. So imagine Balloon Fight, okay? So you'd get Balloon Fight from the NES, and it would happen in July, and you would have it all month in July, but then at the end of July, that game would be gone. There'd be no more Balloon Fight, and you'd be on to whatever the next month's classic game was. And even though they were going to add some multiplayer functionality and some other online stuff, that bummed a lot of people out because they're like, well, what do I don't want to just borrow a game that I didn't even get to pick. And, you know, there's a lot of problems with that idea.
Right.
Well, good news, everyone. Some of that has changed. The name of this the name of the service is going to be this is after some clarification from Nintendo. It's going to be called Nintendo Switch Online. It's a subscription service. It will not launch until sometime in 2018. That is later than that. I know. It's kind of a bummer. They were supposed to have it out before. It was supposed to be like between now and the end of the year, it would be free, and then they'd do their subscription model starting in 2018. But now it looks like we don't even know when the free part will start.
I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I've been holding off for a Switch, waiting for this to happen.
Yeah,
it's gonna be longer for me then.
You're gonna have to wait. Yeah, maybe. I mean, we'll see. Maybe after E3, it'll be a little more clear about their timing. But maybe you'll end up with one in the holidays or something. Maybe that'll be it.
Right.
I don't know. But Nintendo has given some comparative information alongside PS4 Plus and Live Gold, so you kind of know what the differences between the services are. So back to my original point. You now they're going to just make it so you can just download games, and that's part of the subscription. As long as you're subscribed, you can just have those classic games.
Right.
So if you want to, yeah, if you want to have Bobble Buggle or I can't think of any names, Donkey Kong, whatever, you can have them
right
while you're subscribed, just like, you know, PlayStation Plus. While you're subscribed, you get a free game. You get those free games every month. So anyway, right. Here's how it works.
I hope it's something better than those, though. I mean, I love those games, but.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, yes, I want it to be Super Metroid.
Right.
I want it to be Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Mario World. I want it to be Kirby's Dream Land 2 or whatever. Right. You know, I want good games is what I want.
Right, right.
Out of that deal. Otherwise, I mean, again, people are just making Raspberry Pis and putting the big middle finger up there to Nintendo's face. So here's your differences.
Look at my raspberry finger.
Here's the differences between the services. Nintendo Switch Online will cost you $3.99 a month. No brainer. It's dumb. Dumb cheap. PlayStation Plus is currently $9.99. Xbox Live Gold is also $10, the same price.
Yeah, if you're stupid, if you're paying per month.
Well, yeah, you are dumb if you do that. So that brings me to a question for you in a second, because I know that when you did Xbox Live, and those sorts of things, you would not do the month-to-month. You'd go buy these Amazon cards for cheaper and stuff like that, right?
Still do. PlayStation Plus, I do every year. I keep my eyes out for the deals. Usually can pick it up between $45 to $49 usually for the full year.
Yeah, you get a whole year for way cheaper than if you paid it per month.
Yeah.
Let's see. Will it be required for online play? Yes. PlayStation Plus, same thing, except not for free-to-play games. And Xbox Live Gold is always a yes on that. So if you want to play online, you have to pay all three of those services. Mm-hmm. Games included free of charge. So here's that part I was talking about earlier. So in Nintendo's case, yes, a selection of retro games is available with an active subscription. PlayStation Plus, yes, a selection of PS4, PS3, and PS Vita games is available with an active subscription. And Xbox Live Gold, same thing. Yes, a selection of Xbox One and backwards compatible Xbox 360 games available with an active subscription. If the subscription is not active, you do not have access to those games.
Ah.
Yeah, kind of a bummer. But that's true of all three.
That's the market we're used to.
This
started with the... When did they really start doing that? Was it still the PS3 when they started doing?
Because
Sony was the first one that really said, "Hey, guess what?"
Yeah, what, like, Plus cool, started really in cool the game. PS3 era. Sure.
Right.
I'm trying to remember how long that went. Probably a good couple of years.
Right.
And they still do. So every month there's PS3 games, there's PS4 mm-hmm. games, and there's Vita games. So in the sense, if you have that ecosystem, perhaps the PlayStation Plus thing is still the better deal across the board. Because you got
good games.
Three consoles that are getting good games.
Uh-huh.
That's the theory anyway. All three give exclusive discounts. Voice chat available through Xbox Live Gold. Yes, automatically. Mm-hmm. PlayStation Plus. Yes, and no subscription required for that. So even if you don't have Plus, you can have voice.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo Switch Online, it says yes, but only through a smartphone app.
Ah,
that's weird. It's weird in that I don't want to pull out my phone to talk to people for my Nintendo gaming. Like, that's weird. But also, right. I understand for $3.99, I'm not going to get every bell and whistle. You know, this is cheap. $3.99 a month is freaking cheap.
I think this is pretty logical. Yeah. Where they're going. Yeah.
Maybe. I can see it. Cloud saves, they haven't decided yet, so that's to be determined for Nintendo.
The answer is yes.
Well, the answer
is yes or get bent.
Yeah, yes or forget it. Exactly. Like, yes or what are you talking about? Like, TBD, come on. Let's not to be determined this. Let's be determined to say yes, because that's dumb if you don't. Totally. Streaming gameplay, the answer on Nintendo Switch Online is no.
Why?
At least at this stance. They're weird about streams and YouTube stuff.
They really are. You know they won't. But what does it hurt them? They just go through and every person who has any Nintendo crap, they just go, we'll take some of that.
Yeah,
we'll take some of that too. Thank you.
Eventually they'll come around on this, but right now they're still real fishy about who they want to stream things. They have that.
Yeah, they're Magikarp fishy. It's not good.
That game sucks.
But whatever.
I don't like it.
I love that game.
You like Magikarp, the jumping around and feeding your Tamagotchi and all that? You like that?
Yes.
Awesome. All right.
I'm like a level 8 trainer. What do you want from me?
Do you think it's a video game or what is it?
It's not a video game.
It's not really, is it?
It's not really. It's like those old feed your pet kind of games.
Yeah.
And you occasionally get to fight.
Yeah, it's a Tamagotchi game. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah. You can stream gameplay on the other two services, obviously. Smartphone app, again, available for all three. And then parties, groups, and online lobbies. Again, that's true of all three, except in the case of Nintendo, only through the smartphone app will that work. So they're definitely putting their communication / community part of this on the smartphone.
I think that's kind of forward thinking. I don't think that's going to hurt them.
I don't know. I mean, the other services have smartphone apps, and they wish people use those more. This will be a case where they will absolutely use them because they won't have a choice.
Right.
Anyway, so until it debuts in 2018, all players can have access to these features for free. So in 2017, at some point, we will all be getting to try this out.
Right.
So maybe you should get it now. I don't know.
I'm going to wait until they make it available. Maybe Christmas.
Yeah, let's see when they do that. It could be E3. Who knows? It's only a couple weeks.
Be nice.
Let's see. We don't quite know everything about it. Blah blah blah. So yeah, that's kind of it. I'm actually genuinely excited about it. I think it sounds good. Sounds solid. I mean, $4 a month. That's
the part that excites me the most.
Yeah,
is how cheap it's going to be.
Low price.
Also worries me that they will give us crap.
Low price. All right, let's take a look at on the other end of gaming, Steam, and the way they publish stuff. Steam has decided to set its new Steam Direct self-publishing fee at $100 per game.
Uh-huh.
That's cheap compared to what people were afraid of.
Right.
It's less than what Greenlight was. So I'll explain this. So Greenlight's going away. Done. Out. No more Greenlight. Were you a fan of Greenlight?
I've seen a lot of good things come out of Greenlight. How about that?
Okay, fair enough. And that's true. There certainly were some good things that came out of Greenlight. But Greenlight was weird. It kind of let a lot of crap in.
Right.
It was also just kind of confusing. And
I guess it didn't really bother me as an end user. I like the idea of Greenlight because it gave me a lot of great content. As a developer, I never really experienced it.
So if you went in with Greenlight, you'd pay $100 or whatever it was with Greenlight, and you could have now you had the door open to do as many games as you wanted to submit. They wanted to stop that and make that a little harder to, you know, block that entry a little bit. So now it's $100 per game, and that fee is recoupable, but it's per game this time. No more $100, publish as many as you want. Now, when Valve announced Steam Direct and didn't have pricing, everybody was flipping out because they thought, oh no, this is going to be somewhere between, you know, $200 and $5,000.
Right.
And it turned out not to be the case, which is good. Everyone's breathing a bit of a sigh of relief.
$5,000 that would have killed a lot of projects.
A lot of people thought, well, if you're a small indie developer, paying some big flat fee was just going to knock you out. You don't have that kind of cash.
Yeah, there's no way.
And it would stifle innovation and the reasons why indie games have flourished on there. And I agree with that. I think that would have been hard. But again, they did not do that, which is good. So it is, $100, still same price as Greenlight, except it's per game. I think that's a good compromise because I don't want you to go, here's $100 and now here are 500 terrible ideas that we kind of made games out of. Like, F that.
When you explain it like that, it makes more sense because most developers probably only have one good game that they're really currently working on. If they have more than one good game, they probably can afford more than $100.
Or not do Greenlight at all, just do the regular publisher way. So
it seems like it's logical.
I agree with that. Let's see. And the indie. So the indie community is happy about this. I think it's the right move. $100, no problem. I think that's the thing that these guys should be. It should be a bit of an investment. And if the game sells, I forget what the threshold is, but if it does okay enough on the store, they recoup that $100 anyway. So if your game's successful,
right,
everybody wins. Because, you know,
you're making money anyway, though,
yes,
right?
I mean, Steam gets their 30%. Developers get their 70%. Everybody makes money. So therefore, it's like a deposit. That's what this is.
Yeah.
It's like a cleaning deposit on your apartment.
Right. Well, you brought us crap. Thank you for the deposit.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah. And if you leave a mess, well, then we're keeping your money. If you if you do a good job, we'll give you your money back. It's like that.
Right.
It's exactly what they've done. I can't believe it's taken me this long to come around to this because I've been I've been looking at this all week and trying to kind of articulate what I think about it and everything. And it's all coming clear to me now. They basically just took the model of a cleaning deposit from the superintendent of a housing project or whatever. And turned it into a video game idea. So well done, guys.
Right. Because they were using, with Greenlight, they were using curators, which never really took off.
No, it's still not really.
Right.
I don't know if you,
kind of like
you
a
use
public
them?
Cleaning service.
Do you go in there and go, oh, so-and-so says blah, 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 is a good game, and here's his curator. Do you ever look at that? I don't look at those.
I see it out of the corner of my eye, but yeah, I don't. Yeah. I want to do it. I think it's a great idea. I just don't think the effort.
Yeah, and I also don't know what the
right.
I'm trying to think of who it benefits. I mean, if you do
it
a good,
benefits Steam.
Yeah,
right?
I guess that's it. Because what you're saying is, oh hey, famous YouTuber or PCGamer.com or whoever, you could be a curator because you know people like it.
Oh right.
Yeah, and then people are like, oh, my favorite YouTuber has got a curation page. Sweet, let me check it out. And I don't think people really cared. I think it was just
kind of, they don't.
If they really care, if you care about what your YouTuber thinks, you're watching his videos.
Exactly. You don't care about what they say on Steam. Very few people, I think, read reviews on Steam other than the like one or two.
Right. If you care, if you care what who's Lester Holt of NBC Nightly News thinks, you don't go to hear him at the coffee shop talk about the bag of sugar he just put in his coffee. You listen to the nightly news.
Well, sugar is granular.
You know, he has no lips, by the way, that guy.
Oh, he doesn't, does he?
No. He's like
sugar is granular.
Got a weird kind of just self-shutting face. It's very odd.
So anyway.
Middle Earth Shadow of War has been delayed 2 full Earth months.
Right. Now, is it Shadow of War or is it... Oh, okay.
Shadow of Mordor was the first one.
Gotcha.
Shadow of War is the sequel. Highly anticipated. I've seen some footage. Looks real good. Looks much bigger. Much larger world. And that game was already pretty expansive.
Right.
This looks like it's going to go crazy. This is a sequel or direct sequel to the 2014 Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor. This is now going to be released on October 10th. The original date was August 22nd. It seems like a short delay. Usually delays are like 6 months or more, so I don't know what this means. Maybe I don't know, maybe you just get the gold disc out a little later or
right
something.
I'm not 7 weeks is nothing, and I'm not in this day and age of waiting 3 years for a Kickstarter project to roll around. I mean,
yeah,
doesn't 7 weeks, nothing.
That seems odd to me too. I don't know why that's a thing, but anyway,
what's up with the naming? Shadow of this, Shadow of War, Shadow of Mordor.
Well,
Shadow
that's
of
like
mine.
That's like their
groundhog.
It's their brand now. It's almost like, you know what it's like. It's like, well, there was Red Dead Revolver, then there was Red Dead Redemption, and then the third time I thought it'd be Red Dead Revolution or Red Dead Revenue, whatever, right? Some kind of new R word. And instead,
Red Dead Spaghetti.
Instead, they did Red Dead Redemption 2.
Right. That, I didn't care for that.
I didn't care for it either, but I understand the marketing.
Unless you're bringing back the same character.
They are. He's in it. Marsden's in it.
But is he the primary?
He's the primary, and it's a prequel.
I figured he... Oh.
But that's weird, right? Because you're calling it two, but it's a prequel. So
right.
That's my limited understanding thus far is that that's what we're going to get with that game. But my point is, like, I get the marketing. Somebody in PR, somebody in marketing is like, guys, we need to capitalize on the recognizable aspects. What are they? Well, Shadow of Mordor was the name. You barely even saw the Middle Earth name. Like, you hardly knew it was a Lord of the Rings franchise thing. You knew once you played it, but it was, you know, that's what you sold it on. And so we need to keep selling it on that. So they just keep adding shadows. Third one will be like Shadow of Peace or whatever. Right?
Shadow of another thing. Right. This causes problems for me, though, personally, because I'll go, hey, Scott, have you played the new Shadow of Mordor? And like, that's been out since 2014. I'm like, no, you know what I mean.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And I do all that all the time.
Yep. You're not. I think you're there. That's a valid thing. But I, one way or the other, I'm jazzed about the game. It looks really, really good.
And, well, you'll just have to wait 7 weeks longer.
You will. This is their actual statement. As with Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor, Monolith, that's the developer, is committed to delivering the highest quality experience, the studio said today in a delayed announcement. In order to do this, we have made the difficult decision to move our launch date to ensure that Shadow of War will deliver on that promise. I don't see how 7 weeks does that, but that's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'll bet there's some other reason. I honestly, it's not like, you know that video, those two guys going, man, I can't believe we get to be paid video game testers. And the lady comes in and says, hey, you guys, I need to get that. How's the game coming? I need that other one made this week. And he goes, oh, don't worry. We're just trying level 3 and just needs to be polished up with new graphics or whatever. It's like, come on. This isn't how it works. So that's what this feels like a little to me. Like they're kind of making this up or it's a logistical thing or it's a...
With 7 weeks, I almost would think it's probably going to be something like, oh, we couldn't get something printed or we couldn't get something, some little thing. So small. 7 weeks, got to be something small.
I have an idea. How about this? Games confirmed for August of 2017. Maybe they're trying to avoid competition from something big.
Ah.
Yeah. I just thought
you may be onto something.
So let's take a look here. You got your... oh my gosh, this is every month. Let's get down to
August. If this is true, that'd be great because that means they think that other game's going to be good for about 7 weeks.
Yeah. Yes, you are correct. Let's see. Rest of... Where's May? Oh, this doesn't even... What a worthless website this was I clicked on. Hold on. Let's try this one. January.
Ooh, well, let's shame them. What website were you on? I need to shame these people.
That's a good point. Okay, here we go. August. I found one. Sonic Mania. I don't think that's their competition.
That's straight up. You know, I got to decide between the two.
Yep. Madden NFL 18. Probably not a problem.
That's not to say.
Absolver. I don't know. Maybe that one.
Right.
Warriors All-Stars. What the hell's that?
I don't know.
All right.
Is that from the 70s TV movie?
Out and Play EA, that one? Maybe.
Yeah, that guy.
Warrior, let's see, Everybody's Golf, which is the new Hot Shots Golf name.
I'm not hearing much competition so far.
No, Yakuza Kiwami. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think August looks pretty clear. What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
That's weird. September's got bigger stuff. Let's see, October. Okay, October's got Battle Chasers, Night War.
Right.
Middle Earth Shadow of War, and Elex. Yeah, I think maybe October just empty, and they thought, you know what? Let's be the big one in October. I don't know. I'm trying to find a conspiracy, and there's probably not one.
But. Yeah. Well, it's such a but that does. It's 7 weeks is not enough to really move everything and make announcements, right? I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think 7 weeks is enough to do much of anything anymore. No. Time goes too fast for me.
For 7 weeks, you could just sit around. You could just, you know, just take the heat. You just, what? Yeah. Oh, we haven't released it yet? Oh, it's coming.
Heat taken. All right, PlayStation Plus is offering Life of Strange and Killing Floor 2 for June. That is if you want them on the PlayStation 4. So I played both of these games, and I'd just like to give a recommendation for one and not so much for the other.
Interesting.
Yeah. Life of Strange was awesome. I loved that thing.
Amazing fun game. We played this. Me and my fiance played this.
It was great, right? Great story. A little, anime story-ish, but fine. It's fine. It's, you know, a lot of people like that sort of thing, and this one worked for me, and I thought it was really interesting, had some fun supernatural twist to it, and I thought that game was really cool. They're working on a sequel. Very excited about that. So, Life is Strange, totally recommend it. Killing Floor 2, on the other hand,
I felt like the first one was barely eh.
It's all right. It's just some people want constant ramped up difficulty horde mode games.
Right.
I don't think I'm that guy now. I don't think I want that now. I tried it. It looked nice. It's dark. It's, you can't see shit in there, but it's but it's, you know, it's got nice polygonal this and that. It uses some pretty advanced stuff if you have NVIDIA cards, so you get really great three-dimensional gore effects and things, and
right,
you know, it's all right. Killing Floor 2, I mean, it's basically Left 4 Dead but with lots of heavy metal music.
Yes, yes.
It's basically like when you were in seventh grade and you were scrawling AC/DC on your desk during detention. This was for you then.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm down with that.
All right. Well, then this is for you. It's free. Get it.
It was absolutely free. Yes, it's free and it's for me. And I will play this next. No, I'm not going to play this next week.
Yeah, you probably.
Because I'm going to be too busy playing the Humble Bundle Adult Swim games.
Oh, is that a? Oh, they make good games. Adult Swim.
They
does.
Do. Yeah. I like their games.
My two favorite indie developers right now and publishers are Adult Swim and Devolver. What are they called? Ah, hold on.
You have to say Devolver, isn't it, right?
Devolver. Yeah, but it's called Devolver Digital. Is that it? Yeah.
I think that's right.
Digital. There you go. Devolver Digital makes every game I play is great.
Yeah.
I never not have fun with their weird indie shit. So love Devolver and really quite like Adult Swim's stuff. And everyone's going, that's Cartoon Network. That sounds lame. No. They are now... It's weird because, yes, that's true, but they're publishing so many diverse titles that aren't based on Cartoon Network properties.
Yep.
It's really good.
And they're fun. Yeah. And I've never heard of some of these, like Westerado's
awesome.
Yeah.
Westerado's basically a Western version of Zelda.
Right.
And it's incredibly good.
And I got to recommend for Duck Time or Duck Game.
Duck Game
about a week,
so
yeah,
good.
About a week ago, and everybody's like, and I was like, yeah, okay, all right, right, but yeah, it's on the Humble Bundle now, so I'm picking it up.
Nothing wrong with it. If you're getting Duck Game, we are playing Duck Game.
We're gonna play some Duck Game.
We used to do 4-player Duck Game on a stream with when I was doing the NVIDIA channel thing, and
right.
You'd hard pressed to find a more fun experience than Duck Game. It was so good.
We're gonna do it.
Let's see there are two more PlayStation 4 titles for the month, Neon Chrome and Unfinished Pixel Spy Chameleon. I don't know much about those are also on Vita. Neon Chrome I can speak to, fantastic freaking dual stick shooter game, real good. One of my favorite games, actually. I've had that on Steam on my iPad with controller support and now on PlayStation. It's awesome.
Am I too late to the game to pick up a PS Vita? Because they're still 180. I'm just not.
Okay. If you'd asked me before the Switch, I might have said, yeah, get it. Because there's enough there. But I feel like the Switch is kind of.
Switch money, right?
It's kind of doing all the things I thought that. Or it's doing everything I would have used a Vita for right now. And then, you know, Nintendo, all the extra Nintendo sauce doesn't hurt. Plus, it's already selling probably, for all I know, there are more Switches sold now than there were of the Vita the entire time.
Right.
Which is unfortunate, because I think the Vita was good hardware, but I don't know. There were some things to be, there were some problems with that device. Mm. Let's see, what else? PlayStation 3 side, that's how you're still rolling. You get two free games, Ace Team's Abyss Odyssey and WRC5 World Rally Championship. In other words, starting to get slim pickings on the PS3. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Well, they stopped production this week in Japan. Did you hear about that? Not production, but shipping, I guess. So production had already ended, but there are no more stock of PS3 shipping in Japan. I would assume that will soon be true here, if not already.
Right.
That's longer than the Xbox 360 continued to ship, but they have stopped. So no more PS3.
Right. But they weren't making them, right? They just had stock in a warehouse somewhere, right?
Is that they were making them up until March. So
really?
Yeah, yeah. Sony always does this, though. They've always been really good to their previous generation. They tend to to keep going. Like, they made PlayStation 1s well into PS2's era. They made PS2s well into PS3 era. Like, they don't stop. They just
You know what? Yeah. I guess that's true. And I was thinking, they're still making those nice PS3 Slims. But no, the last couple of releases of those were like those crappy slide door thing, right?
Yeah, I didn't like that particular iteration. The PS4 Slim is pretty sweet looking.
Yeah,
It's good. But then you probably just want to get a Pro. I don't know. It's weird. Consoles are weird right now. 80 million install base for PlayStation 4, though. They're kind of killing it. So
they are.
What are you going
to
do?
It's the place to be.
I think that's it for that news. I don't know. Go get free games, you guys. It's dumb if you don't, because games, they're free. Get them. Have them. Be there. All right, before we get to an email, I want to just throw it out there to people listening who have been asking for the old theme to be played once in a while, if for old time's sake. The old Boop theme, which is confusing because we've got the old Final Score theme at the top of the show.
Right.
And now there's this, which was previously the Boop head top theme. So I'm going to use it in the middle of the show, all right? We're making a compromise, everybody. This is where we meet in the middle, shake hands, and go our separate ways, okay? Or no, we stay together, we eat food together. That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Here's an email, Brian, that came to us at boopshow@gmail.com. Please keep sending those in. We love your emails. This one says, it's from Stranglethorn32. Says this: "Hi guys, do you think we're headed toward a future of multiplayer only video games? I feel that way sometimes with MOBAs, shooters, etc. The focus definitely seems to be moving in that direction. Any thoughts about this, Stranglethorn32?" Well, Stranglethorn32, no. I think that online games will continue to evolve and you know, they're easier than ever to just get in and play and go and do, and you know, like we're in a you know, a bit of a golden age when it comes to how easy it is to play a multiplayer game on any platform. Mm-hmm. However, that I don't think that ever spells the death of narrative single player style experiences from indie all the way up to AAA. I think that stuff will stay with us, and we'll only innovate and continue to get better right along with their multiplayer cousins. Brian, what do you think about that whole thing?
I'm going to agree with you. There's there's tides with video games. This just happens to be high tide for MOBAs and shooters right now, and we'll get sick of those, and we'll be like, I don't want to play any more shooters. Yeah. And we'll do something else for a little while, and then we'll hop back on this.
And even within genres, that we tend to have these peaks and valleys. It's like, well, I'm really into shooters, but it's all modern military realism that we're aiming for, and that lasts for like 5-6 years, and then it's like, no, I want to go back to shooting big plasma balls at each other. So then we start going back to the more Quakey sort of thing, which is what's happening right now. I mean, Overwatch.
Yeah, Overwatch is absolutely
there, right? Quake Champions and many other shooters on the market right now are definitely hearkening back to the classic Twitch shooters of the 90s and early aughts. So it's up and down. It's like, you know, fantasy and sci-fi. It's like, I don't know. Can't think of anything else. But you know how these things, you know, zombies and vampires. Although zombies seem to never leave and vampires come and go. But it's one of those cycles. And I think those cycles come and go where multiplayer is a big focus. Everyone's playing Dota and League and Overwatch and Hearthstone and blah, blah, blah. And then we'll get a hankering for a really well-constructed, more linear story idea.
Right.
And we'll want to go play that.
And Scott's going to, one day, he's just going to be in, you know, Player Unknown, and he's going to go, I am so sick of these people.
Yeah, I don't want to talk to these people anymore. They're the worst. I don't want to. Although last night, we took second as a squad. We got in the last 10 yards of space before the gas kills you. And it was down to us and one other team, and we lost last second. But it's the best we've ever done in a squad. That game, I mean, 100 people. And it came down to 4 people total. Right. And we almost had the winner chicken dinner.
Nice.
And I was so mad. Oh, it's such a good game. That game is so great. It's broken and janky, but it's so good. It's so good. It's a reminder that games don't have to be 100% perfect to be genius. And that one's definitely there.
Right.
Anyway, Stranglethorn, worry not if you're worried about your stories going away, because I don't think they're going anywhere. I think you're just going to, you know, you'll fluctuate, but you'll, and you will too as a player, by the way, Stranglethorn 32. You will one day, there'll be days where you're like, I don't want to do that. And you won't play something for a year, and then you'll come back to it. I'm doing that with ESO right now. I didn't care about it before, and now I could not be more into it. Freaking love it. I'm thinking about it right now. I want to play it right now. I mean, really, seriously, I just want to stop what I'm doing.
I may have a problem.
I want to hang up with you and go play it right now. And I can't because I have to go somewhere today, and that's going to drive me nuts until I can play it. Plus, I got Nerdtacular to play, and I got time for this. I ain't got no time for this. Anyway. I don't know why I sang that. Anyway, there's your email. Boopshow@gmail.com is where you send that. All right, let's take our leave and get out of here. Brian, you got anything going on this week people should check out?
Absolutely. Every week I'm doing Film Sack and Comics Coast to Coast. Probably familiar with Film Sack, but if you haven't listened to Comics Coast to Coast, we have weekly interviews with animators, cartoonists, and webcomicers.
Yeah, it's a good time. I like that show. Been around forever now. How many years now? This is like...
Oh my God, 2008. We've been doing this for... This is our 11th year.
Jeez. That's insane.
Can you believe that? That is crazy.
So you and I started working together in 05. How many years is that now?
Right. That would be more than that.
12
that would
and
be
a
three
half.
More.
Right. 13 years. That's insane. Right? That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
I remember a time where I hardly knew anyone for more than 3 or 4 years at a time. You know what I mean? Like the internet changed me. I'm a different guy now. I'm a whole different
beast.
I
honestly didn't think we'd be doing this in 2017.
It's weird.
No idea.
Glad we are, though. Make sure you do check out FilmSack, of course, FilmSack.com and Comics Coast to Coast. There's details on both of those things at frogpants.com. You can find this show at frogpants.com/boop. I wish there was a .boop domain. That'd be amazing. You know what I would register? I'd register
everything.
Boop.boop. That's what I'd
do. Oh, man. Boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, boop, boop. That's what I do. Boopshow@gmail.com. Like I mentioned before, we are on Twitter at Boopshow. You can also find Brian at the Brian Dunaway. You can find me at Scott Johnson. And big thanks to the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra for our music. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/frogpants if you like this show and other stuff like it there at the Frog Pants Network. And as always, boopshow.reddit.com if you would like to be part of our burgeoning Reddit community. Go check that out. Big thanks to everybody who's hanging out in there and submitting and posting and doing all of that. Including Brian, who's often in there. I think it's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for, I don't know, Stranglethorn 32.
Right.
We'll see you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.